At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. And today we're going to be discussing our top 36 running backs for week two. Let's go ahead and get into it. We're going to start with our RB1s, and they are as follows: Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Kyren Williams, Derrick Henry, Isaiah Pacheco, Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs, James Cook, Joe Mixon, and Jordan Mason. So let's get into some of these RB1s for this week. We're going to start things off with Kyren Williams versus Arizona. Now, last week wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. 18 carries, 50 yards. Three catches for 4 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. Now, what really stood out to me and what I wanted to see from week one more than anything was how some of this usage was going to play out for some of these guys, and no bigger really than Kyren Williams. We had all the offseason debate about Blake Corum and how he might be involved and, you know, take away opportunities from Kyren Williams, but at least for 1 week, that did not happen. Kyren Williams last week had a 90% snap share. He played 67 of the 74 snaps and handled 78% of the rushing opportunities. He also had a 78% route participation, but that only turned into a 6% target share. We would like to see that a little bit higher. I mean, that is not great, but I do expect moving forward, especially with Puka Nacua now likely out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, that I do think you could see him be more involved in the passing game. But, you know, heading into week one, we knew that this was going to be a really tough matchup for him going against the Lions, but they get a really good matchup this week against Arizona. Arizona was really bad against the run, and I don't think that's going to change this year. So I do think Kyren Williams is a really good play this week. Let's keep it moving. Let's move over to Isaiah Pacheco versus Cincinnati. Pacheco had himself a pretty solid day. He totaled 88 total yards and a touchdown. He finishes the RB14 with 15.8 fantasy points. The more encouraging sign was his usage. He played 80% of the snaps and handled 75% of the rushing attempts and received an 11% target share. Now, we'll still want to monitor Samaje Perine as he gets more familiar with this offense, but I do think this is an encouraging start for Pacheco. This week, the Bengals come to town, and they were just trashed on the ground by Ramondre Stevenson, allowing 140 rushing yards and a touchdown, which was the 12th most PPR points last week, making Pacheco a top 10 running back again for this week. Let's keep it moving, and we're going to talk about Derrick Henry up next. Henry rushed 13 times for 46 yards and a score. The touchdown really saved his day. Otherwise, a really bad week for him. He ended up only playing 48% of the snaps and handled just 40.6% of the RB carries and only ran 15% of the total routes. We were worried about this when it came to Derrick Henry. He's going to be game script and touchdown dependent all year. He's not going to be involved in the passing game. And even John Harbaugh said after the game that they did not bring him in to be a 30-touch type of runner. That's not what he's going to be. And so I do think on negative game script type games, it's going to really affect Derrick Henry. He's going to need touchdowns to really pay off the draft capital that people invested in him. And that is why one of the biggest concerns we had for him. But I will say for this week, this is a very good matchup this week, as the Raiders defense just allowed 161 yards and a touchdown last week to the Chargers. This is certainly a positive game script for the Ravens, and one we should expect Henry to bounce back in kind of a big way. I think he's a borderline top 5 running back this week against the Raiders. So next up, you know, the Miami Dolphins situation is one we're going to have to monitor with their next game coming on Thursday. Achane and Mostert, who are both dealing with injuries, they have yet to practice this week. But remember, when games are on Thursdays, teams don't really do real practices. They just kind of say, you know, what they would have done had they actually practiced. But I do think if they were both forced to miss time, we would see a lot of Jeff Wilson and rookie Jalen Wright. I think both would probably be top 36 running backs if that were to happen. But I think at least one of them will play. It wouldn't be shocked if both of them end up do play. If they do, Devon Achane is a top 8 running back this week. So I just wanted to talk about the situation, something we talked about. And another situation we're going to have to monitor is going to be the Christian McCaffrey one. Christian McCaffrey, you know, kind of surprisingly missed Monday night game. I think people were kind of on the fence of whether he was going to play or not. But then we had Adam Schefter after the game come out and say that with the way that Jordan Mason played, it's a very good possibility that CMC doesn't play again in week two. So this is going to be up to the situation monitor. But Jordan Mason was phenomenal, accumulating 150 rushing yards on 28 carries and scored a touchdown, which put him at RB3 overall this past week. And so I do think if he were to miss time, while this isn't a great matchup because the Vikings run defense is really good with Brian Flores here manning this defense, I do still think because Jordan Mason handled pretty much every single rush attempt among the running backs, Jordan Mason, while I don't think this is a great matchup, I think volume alone is going to make him a very good option this week. So Jordan Mason is a top 12 running back for me if Christian McCaffrey were to miss. Let's keep it moving here and let's jump over to our RB2s. We start things off with Josh Jacobs, James Conner, Rashad White, Kenneth Walker, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson, Jerome Ford, Najee Harris, and Tony Pollard. So let's keep it moving. We're going to talk about some of these RB2s. First up, let's talk about Josh Jacobs. On the surface, this is a great matchup for Jacobs. The Colts were dreadful last season against the run, and nothing really changed in that department as they allowed 175 rushing yards and a touchdown, good for 32 fantasy points to running backs in week one. While Jacobs certainly was the bell cow, handling 72% of the snaps, he also handled 76% of the rush attempts. He did only run about 47% of the routes and saw an 8% target share. What worries me most is Malik Willis taking over as his team's starting quarterback while Jordan Love recovers from his PCL sprain. Willis has pretty much been dreadful in his career anytime he's been given an opportunity to play quarterback. And for a running back who looked as ineffective at times as Jacobs did this past week, the matchup against the Colts could still be good enough for him to be a high-end RB2 this week. But just understand, I am a little bit worried about what this offense is going to look like with Malik Willis. I don't know how they didn't have a better option for a backup quarterback in the year 2024, whenever you are a playoff contender. It should just be something you should definitely be looking at. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but I don't have high hopes for this Packers offense with Malik Willis as the starting quarterback. Let's keep it moving. I wanted to mention Kenneth Walker. We'll have to monitor his status this week as he left late in last week's 26-20 win over the Broncos with an abdomen injury. Walker did say after the game that he felt good, but head coach Mike Donald, immediate update for him. We'll need to monitor the situation this week, but if he does play, I still think he's a pretty solid RB2 option this week, despite a little bit tougher of a matchup. Let's keep it moving, and let's talk about James Conner versus the Rams. Conner had himself a productive day with 19.3 fantasy points. He did so on 50 yards on 16 carries and hauled in 3 or 4 targets for 33 yards and a touchdown. Finishes the RB8 last week. Now, a few things that stood out to me was that he played 66% of the snaps. He handled 64% of the rush attempts. However, slightly concerning that he only ran a route on 39% of dropbacks and saw a 9% target share. While Kyler Murray typically doesn't look to check down, Conner only running a route on 39% of dropbacks could make him more of a low-end RB2 depending on matchup. But this week is a good matchup against the Rams. The Rams allowed 131 rushing yards and on 36 receiving yards last week and 2 touchdowns to Lions running backs. They ended up allowing the third most PPR points on the week, setting up Conner to be a strong RB2 play this week. Next up, let's talk about Rashad White. Now, Rashad White was once again dreadful on the ground, and what was a good matchup against the Commanders. He rushed 15 times for 30 yards, but came through via the receiving games, hauling in 6 targets for 75 yards. Even more concerning for White was Buck Irvin looked far better as a runner, rushing 9 times for 62 yards, and also saw 3 targets himself. While White still handled 70% of the snaps, he only handled 50% of the rush attempts, but did run 59% of the routes and saw a healthy 20% target share. If he continues to struggle on the ground, we could see a Buck Irving earn more snaps, lowering White's weekly upside. This week, the Bucs get a significantly more challenging matchup against the Lions. This is why I'm much lower on White than consensus this week. I just don't love this matchup. He's going to have to get there through the air, and it's going to be a struggle for him to score a touchdown. So while I still think you're probably starting Rashad White if you have him, just have lower expectations for him. And honestly, I would be a little nervous about Buck Irving if he continues to carve out a little bit bigger of a role. Next up, speaking of running backs that carved himself out a pretty nice role, that's J.K. Dobbins, who gets a really good matchup this week against the Carolina Panthers. Dobbins exploded in week one, rushing for 135 yards on 10 carries and also scored a touchdown. He handled 59% of the snaps, but only 37% of the rush attempts. He also ran 57% of the routes and received a 11.5% target share. Dobbins was returning from an Achilles injury and looked incredible. For context, Dobbins was 7th in yards after contact per attempt and 5th in missed tackles forced per attempt last week. If Dobbins can stay healthy, he could very well be one of the bigger draft steals if he continues to show this level of production. This week, the Chargers take on a Panthers defense that allowed 132 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns to the Saints last week. So J.K. Dobbins is another smash spot this week. And honestly, some of these guys I'm about to talk about, I probably could have even higher on this list just because I think they're in much better matchups. Next up, you have Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson picked up where he left off last season with 17.9 PPR points. He played 57% of the snaps and saw a 16% target share. He rushed 12 times for 40 yards and hauled in three passes for 49 yards and found the end zone. Robinson and the Commanders take on a Giants defense that allowed 27.9 PPR points to running backs last week and the same defense that allowed the 11th most PPR points last season. Now, this wasn't a great game script for the Commanders as they were trailing for a lot of that game. I do think this sets up to be a much more positive game script for Robinson to have an even bigger workload this week. So I really like Brian Robinson this week. I think he is a really strong RB2 play. Next up is Jerome Ford, who might have been one of the more bigger surprises just because of the way he was utilized. Jerome Ford last week was the RB12 with 18.9 PPR points. More surprisingly, he received a workhorse-type role. He played 73% of the snaps, handled 64% of the rush attempts, and 63% of the routes, really solid 15.6% target share. Heading into week two, the Browns looked to get it back on track with a trip to Jacksonville. The Jags last season allowed the 11th most PPR points. In week one, they allowed the 8th most fantasy points to running backs, making Jerome Ford a strong RB2 play. And I do think he has RB1 upside again with this opportunity that he's certainly seeing right now. Now, let's move over to some of the RB3s that I want to discuss. First up, let's talk about Devin Singletary, who's on the other side of that game against the Commanders. The Giants failed to get their offense going. However, Singletary did play 72% of the snaps and saw a healthy 12% target share. This should be a much better matchup this week against the Commanders defense that does struggle to stop the run. So Devin Singletary, I do think, is in play as a flex option. I wanted to talk about the Broncos running backs and Javonte Williams. Now, this is not the best matchup for the running backs as they face a Steelers defense that absolutely looked incredible last week. It was unsettling to see Javonte play 50% of the snaps and only handling 32% of the rush attempts. Now, some of that could have been game script as they fell behind to the Seahawks. They ended up having to come back late, but it was Jaleel McLaughlin who actually saw a bigger workload. However, he did nothing with those opportunities either. I would probably avoid playing either one of these running backs this week if I didn't have to. If you have to play one of them as a flex, I get it, but I just don't necessarily love this matchup for them this week. Next up is Zach Moss. Zach Moss was the RB1 in this offense last week, playing 65% of the snaps, receiving 57% of the carries, and saw a 14% target share last week. He turned that into 14.1 fantasy points. This isn't a great matchup, but if he can maintain this target share, he will remain a weekly flex option that could end up being an RB2 if things continue to hold like this. As things currently stand, he is definitely ahead of Chase Brown in terms of the pecking order. So Zach Moss is a decent play this week against the Chiefs. Lastly, I want to talk about Zamir White here versus Baltimore. I have no desire to play Zamir White against the Ravens defense on the road. White looks to be more of a game script dependent as he only played 39% of the snaps, did handle 60% of the RB rush share, but only saw a 6% target share. It was actually Alexander Mattison who saw a lot more of those touches. So that pretty much wraps up the RB3s that I really wanted to hit on. Let us know in the comment section below any start sit question that you may have. We'll be happy to answer it for you, get you set up and ready to go for this week. Let's get back on track if you did win last week, or let's keep the winning streak alive and go for the second in a row. With that being said, hit that like and subscribe button for future content. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.